Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podcast 006. We are actually broadcasting at another location other than the Stevenson's house or the Bell's house. We are on location in the downtown city area of Dahlonega.
Yay.
That's right. So sitting around the circle today is actually more people than have mic. We have four microphones, but there's actually six people sitting around the circle. If I'm 12 o'clock, if I'm sitting at 6 o'clock.
Wait, to your left is here. Maybe
no,
just
no. I want to make this as complicated as possible. Okay. So if you are at 12, if I'm sitting at 6 o'clock, at 8 o'clock would be, ladies and gentlemen, Katie Sessions.
Hello.
Yeah. Yes.
That's actually more like the square root of 8 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still Katie Sessions.
All right. So that voice that you're hearing is not Matt Stevenson this time. Give it up for Jay Sessions in the house.
Oh, thank y'all.
I think you're at 4 o'clock.
Well, yeah, it's kind of 3:30-ish.
Definitely 3:30-ish.
Which is when the sun came out
if
today.
If you're 12 o'clock.
Because Jeffrey learned.
No, I'm 6 o'clock.
Katie's at 2.
I'm 6 o'clock.
Oh, in typical festival weekend, some guy just came up the driveway.
Oh, goodness. Well, she said the driveway because we're actually broadcasting from the Sessions house.
Yes, so, in the driveway on Jones Street in Dahlonega.
Yes, because this weekend is festival weekend. Listen to this
sound
glorious
effect.
Sound.
Here we go.
That was nice.
Sounds like festival weekend in the Sessions driveway.
Yep.
Good friends and fellowship all weekend long.
So I bet since it's festival weekend, Blake Corbin, who just walked up, was here for a corn dog because he's always on a hunt for a corn dog when it's festival weekend.
Hey, Blake Corbin, lean into that mic right by, tell us about a corn dog.
There were no corn dogs. Corn dogs.
Corn dogs.
Corn dogs.
Corn dogs. Corn dogs.
Corn dogs.
That's sad.
What about a turkey leg? You get a turkey leg?
No.
I don't think Blake.
No.
Blake showed up at like the last minute as the festival was ending.
Way to close it out, Blake.
So also, I'm here, Kim Bell.
Yeah,
here.
I was getting to you. I would say your wife.
You always forget your wife.
I do not forget my wife. You are at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Because you're always at 10, baby.
Ooh, nice.
Give it a 10.
Yeah.
But directly across.
The way I made this. And then at 12 o'clock, we have Ma Bell in the house. You can't hear her because she does not have a mic.
That would be Chuck's mom.
And then sitting at 1 o'clock, we have Lucy Bell.
Whoa. you can hear Lucy.
That is awesome. All right. So
no
like
microphone required.
Like we always start our podcast.
And
oh wait. And now we have two other humans that just walked in.
Oh. Hello. There are more humans.
That would be Blakely Bell, who you know from episode 004.
Yeah, Blakely, just say
my ASMR episode.
Yeah, people have talked about how soothing your voice is in the microphone. So just say a little something.
Well, today I went to Bear on the Square. And it was, my mom just tried to lick me. So
because you smell like waffle cones.
Probably do smell like waffle cones again. But my hair's a little greasy, so.
Where do you work that makes you smell like waffle cones?
I work at Connie's.
Connie's Ice Cream.
Connie's Ice Cream.
You have to speak up into
the ASMR, Jay.
It's ASMR.
Oh, okay.
But let's not talk about what ASMR means because that's actually a podcast coming up that I'm making it a point not to know what ASMR stands for because we're all going to guess what it stands for in one of our podcasts. So the other voice you have not heard is Charlotte Sessions. We also call Cha Cha. She is.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Sessions, aka Cha Cha.
Yeah, there she is. Awesome.
Love her.
Now they don't have headphones, so they can't hear all of the stuff that we're hearing inside of our. Oh, you have dog pants on.
I want you to take a look at the dogs on her pants. Do you recognize them?
She's wearing a blanket.
She is wearing her dog's faces on her.
Did dogs eat fish bones? There are a lot of dog faces on her.
Yeah, so Charlotte doesn't have a college account because of purchases like this.
Charlotte actually takes after her mother who wore pajama pants out here
Perry, Perry's faces. I mean.
So the Sessions have three dogs and all of them are on Charlotte's pants right now.
Not like the dogs themselves, the dog's faces.
Their faces, like one of those products where you can put your dog's face on a item that you want to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unique.
Face on the pants. Face on the pants.
Well, I do want to say that is probably the most attractive photo of Pearl I've ever seen. Like, she Pearl is super
turned out well. Yeah,
I thought it was a Yorkie from a distance, and then I was like, and got Baymax, closer, and I was like, cuter
some
than
people
a Yorkie.
Refer Baymax to her as a Brussels really Griffon.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, tell me a little bit more about this.
They think that she looks like a Brussels Griffon, which is a high-end dog, when in fact she is not.
She's ugly.
I thought
she is the light of my life.
Say it again. What did you say? A what? A Brussels sprout. That's all I got out
of it. She's actually a Chihuahua Shih Tzu mix, otherwise known as a Shih Chi.
We got her from a flea market.
So sorry for butting in.
The Pendergrass flea market, right?
The one and only Pendergrass flea market.
Chair that I can borrow.
Right inside the door. Pile of chairs for all our friends.
So, kind of set the stage for people, like, festival weekends, this is what happens.
Yeah, actually, Barrel in the Square was just brought up, kind of in, like, bypass, and
yeah,
I think we need to...
Yeah, we're getting back there.
Yeah, we're going to dive in, though.
So, before we actually do that, this is... We have a announcement from our HR department, Kim Bell. You got an HR announcement for us today?
Actually, I do, and I just... This is the moment where I need to let everyone know it's not real. I know. I've been posing the whole time. I've been posing as HR, and that's mostly because I am the person who tries to make sure that Matt, Chuck, and Lauren like keep things going in the direction we got to keep things going, so that we can avoid an E rating. But in real life, Jay Sessions is HR.
Yeah,
he's like the Mr. HR.
Can I give him a heartbeat? Like the heartbeat of HR?
No, HR doesn't actually have heartbeats. We have policies. Oh, yeah. And
most of those policies so about people you can't talk to.
It's written down.
Yeah, because you can't talk about those policies because it's against HIPAA laws.
Uh-huh.
No, that's
I mean, there's
no,
all
that's
kinds
Katie.
Of laws.
HIPAA is over on my side of the circle here.
Yeah. Oh, so I deal more with employment rights laws. But, yeah.
So if you... Mm-hmm. Were HR over a podcast?
Oh, I would quit policy? Immediately. Quit oh. immediately.
So, I have a more important question. If there was a person that was impersonating HR for 5 to 6 times publicly, how would you handle that employee?
I think that's life in jail.
Yeah. It sounds like
immediately.
Hold on, let me run away.
That sounds like experience. Like you spoke with authority when you said that. Like you have some.
She's
vendetta.
She's at my 10 o'clock. I'm just saying that's the person.
Oh, at your 10 o'clock.
Oh, no.
No.
What time am I?
Time to get to the topic is what we are. Time
you are. Wow.
Back to festival weekends.
Yes, yes. All right. So we, as always, we've also have a chair that's empty for you. So I hope that you feel like you're around the circle. Let's just set the stage of where we are. We talked about we're at the Sessions house. We are at the Sessions house. They live in the downtown area of Dahlonega, which is a very small, quaint little mountain town right at the foothills of the Appalachians. North of Atlanta, about 65 miles. If you hop on 400 and go north, it will end at a Chevron station and at a Subway that I would – I don't want to speak bad about Subways, but –
There's a Waffle House.
Don't talk about that Subway. Let's
there
talk
is
about
a Waffle
there
House.
There is a Waffle
House. Why don't and we say it's the site of the first U.S. Gold Rush?
Oh, we can. And
it was in the top 10 of the best towns in Southern living.
Now, Katie can speak of this because what you might not know about Katie, because you just met her, is that she is a Dahlonega nugget, like a real nugget. And what is a nugget, Katie?
Well, that is actually up for discussion. So some people say it's up to 3 generations in Dahlonega, therefore I would not be a nugget.
Oh, okay.
Common knowledge, people like to say if you went to Lumpkin County High School and graduated from there, so you came from our school system and live here, then you're a nugget.
Oh, okay.
But I've
always heard that it's like you had to have been born here to be considered a nugget in any way, shape, or form, yes?
I have been here since 1994, and some people say, oh, well, you're still new. But I'm a nugget.
Okay.
But like we moved here when Blakely was 2 and Lucy was 5.
Oh,
and
you're just a baby.
People are like, no, sorry, they're not nuggets. I think they're cute little chicken nuggets, but they're not nuggets.
Well, Cha-Cha was born in Dawsonville, next county over, and she's not a nugget.
Oh.
Even though she's probably the most nugget of
all of us.
All of us.
Well, there you have it. So a Dahlonega nugget.
Pure gold is what they're saying about.
Pure gold.
There's gold in them there. Hills.
Pure gold. Pure gold. So we're sitting in the driveway of this house on Jones Street that is actually Katie's childhood home.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago, they moved into this house, and this is now their location where they've lived for, what, the past
10?
How much you ask
10 years, 12 years?
Been here about 10 years. I am actually back in my childhood bedroom. My daughter works in the same place that I had my first job. She goes to the school that I went to. It's really cool. It's like life coming full circle.
Yeah.
She's like a mini me.
She is.
Hey, I picked you up for our first date here.
You did?
In this driveway.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
No way.
All right. So we are talking about festivals, and we've had one of the two largest festivals in Dahlonega happen today, this weekend. It has been raining today, so unfortunately the festival did not have the turnout on a Sunday like they normally would, but Saturday was really good. Who wants to tell us about the festival? We've been at the Kimbell. What's the name of the festival?
Well, this is our favorite festival. Like, our combined families would agree that Bear on the Square is our favorite festival of the whole year, and actually today is Jay's favorite day of the year every year. So... I feel like Katie should tell us a little bit about, like, what the heck this festival is about in the first place.
Well, tell us the story, because you were actually here when the festival...
Again, because I'm a nugget.
Because
that's right.
You're kind
that's
of a right. lightweight.
A long, long time ago.
OG.
Back in the 1990s.
So...
Is that how we spoke in the 1990s?
That's how I spoke.
You spoke like that.
How did y'all speak? I was South Georgia.
I think I pretty much spoke the same way. Jay. Hi, my name's Chuck. Hello, my name is Jay Sessions. I live in 1990.
So, back to what I was saying, Katie.
Bear on the Square is really the Mountain Music Festival, and it's where people come from all over the South, really, to bring back bluegrass music and arts. And so it's one of the few festivals that we have where it is... almost exclusively music, homemade arts and crafts, just beautiful things. You're not walking around and seeing things that your kids just want to buy and that are going to end up on the floor. You're seeing art pieces that could be a centerpiece in your home. You're getting music lessons, storytelling lessons. You're getting to listen to music that you normally wouldn't get to hear in this day and age. It is magical. There is also food trucks, which is great. We have now added, we have a beautiful park, and they have where they have the meadery. And one of the breweries, I think, is there. So you could have some adult beverages and the kids can play while there's music playing. So it's super relaxed, super cool. And then the highlight of the entire weekend is Sunday morning gospel jam. And there is just a group of several talented bluegrass musicians that come, and they each sing their favorite gospel song. You can clap, you can sing, and they encourage audience involvement. It is usually standing room only, and it fills you up for the whole year.
Okay, raise your hand if you're listening to this podcast and you want to come to this festival, because I really feel like that you just sold it pretty well.
I love Dahlonega, and I really love Bear on the Square.
So can you tell us why it's called Bear on the Square?
Okay, so that's the best part. Dahlonega loves to have a festival. We used to have multiple tiny ones, and they've kind of melded into a few bigger ones. But one time, a long time ago, a mama bear was walking her baby bear, and as they do, they lead them far away and tell them to go and fly. And
wait, can you speak like a bear to tell him to go and fly?
That was the other voice we did earlier.
Oh, that was the other voice.
Come here, little bear. We're going for a walk. I'm so scared. But pack your things, because we're not coming back. And so that's just what they did. But
that was better than the sound effect.
It was like a random Tuesday, right?
Yeah. Right, but we've had lots of bears. We discussed this yesterday. We've had a bear running through the yard. That's why we have a bear path in our yard.
Yeah. Bears don't keep calendars, by the way, so he didn't know it was a random Tuesday.
Yeah.
he didn't, today's Tuesday, and I'm a 1990s bear.
Marmalade Day. Anyways.
We do have a great British shop on the square, though, if you're interested.
All right, focus, people. Focus.
Focus. So anyways, Mama Bear and Baby Bear are out for a walk, and she said, little one, it's time for you to stay, and I'm going to leave you here. And she happened to leave the baby bear in a tree on the square, a giant old oak tree that is beautiful that we've actually just had to remove due to safety reasons, not because we didn't love it.
Right.
But the bear was there. We got the bear down safely and relocated. He's very happy. But now we have a festival every year, because why not?
Because a bear climbed up a tree in the middle of the square.
It was excellent.
Bear on the Square Festival.
That's how great our town is. Even the bears want to come hang out on the square.
People actually stopped, though. And it was a community event that day of going... there's a bear cub.
Actually, I've heard Sheriff Gerard actually talk about being there that day and the experience.
It was a big day for us. You know, we get excited. We had the big gold rush, and that was a big thing back in the day in Dahlonega, and then we had the bear.
There you go.
Oh, and we had the Olympic torch come through. So we've had some big moments here.
Mm. There you go. Big moments.
I was there for that, too.
Yeah. So I...
Katie's basically a part of all of the big moments.
No, I feel like you should be the town historian. Like,
she's really trying to get that nugget status.
She's working towards her nugget status.
I'm legit.
Katie Sessions, Nugget 2024.
I'm not sure that our podcast will be like a, we could use it as a campaign for you to become a nugget.
It's my promo.
Yeah, it could be a promo.
That's why she's here today, actually. Yeah. It's why she agreed to join us.
Yep. Like, share, subscribe.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So you said a couple of things during that story that I just want to explore a little bit because this is a good story. Okay. You said we got the bear down. Were you part? Were you?
Like- yes. So whenever anything big happens in Dahlonega, the first thing they do is they say, call Katie because she'll know what to do. Okay. And no, I have no idea. I think that there's probably better details someone else could give. But they safely removed the bear and relocated the bear alive to an area where he would safely be able to go on to his next phase of life.
Were you here? Were you living?
I wasn't thinking school that day. It was during the daytime.
Yeah, because it was a Tuesday.
You were here.
The bear planted on a Tuesday.
I don't know that it was a Tuesday exactly.
It was actually right.
You lied. It was a random day.
It was in the big tree that's right outside of the shop that Blake just tried to go visit.
Well made.
Brad Walker Pottery.
And Well Made Dahlonega.
And Well Made Dahlonega, our friend Megan Noble who owns that. But Brad Walker makes really cool pottery, and Blake just tried to go get Shanna a new mug. So I'd like to actually take this moment to recognize that Blake is a great husband and works so hard to get his wife a mug to replace the mug she broke at Brad Walker Pottery, which is literally.
But the reason why her mug probably broke is because she carries the same mug around all day long to the point where when the coffee gets cold, she will reheat it and then continue to drink it.
In the microwave. But that's a whole nother podcast there, too. Like, microwaved coffee, should you drink it and why?
Yeah, so we only have four microphones, but there are some other voices around here, so... Those of you that don't have a microphone right now, if you feel like you really want to say something into the mic, just lean into one of them. And
oh, you can. Blake.
Blake has to leave. He's got to pick up his children.
Love you, buddy.
And Chuck's mom just got up and walked off. So.
I think that she has to get her steps in. So
yeah.
The badge.
Are you getting your steps in? Is that what's happening? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Love you.
All right, folks, everybody, lift up your right hand or left hand and wave to Blake Corbin. He is walking away. So we're all.
Bye.
Love you, brother.
Good to see you, Blake. Happy.
Bye, buddy.
Thanks for coming.
Yep.
Thanks for being an all-star husband.
Yep. Yep.
Well, the poor girl has to drink a lot of coffee.
She has a whole litter of children.
She has four children, and she deserves
that. Oh, we're going back to Shannon.
And she actually is a nugget, right?
She moved. Oh.
1 year before me. She came 1 year before me and likes to make that known. But she only got here.
So she's not officially a nugget.
She's not official if you go by official terms, but she's been here since I think she was in seventh grade.
Okay. She's probably going to ask to come on the podcast to boost that. You know,
also Shanna Corbin Nugget 2024.
Yeah. Shanna Corbin actually gave a speech in college where she asked Jay to be there about making him an honorary nugget because he has been around us so much. So Shanna Corbin recognizes Jay as a nugget.
Wow.
So I support Shanna's nugget.
Nugget status.
Nugget status.
Yeah.
Over your wife?
No, I support yours.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I mean.
Let's get ready to rumble.
I'm a married in corner. Nugget.
So back to the festival.
I was an honorary nugget because I was.
One of the things we were just talking about before we started this podcast is we were sitting here and Katie and I were incredulously watching Lucy Bell put more food in her face. So one of the best thing about festivals in Dahlonega, Georgia, or really anywhere, is festival food. And so I.
Oh, lean in.
Yeah. I think you need
Lucy
to borrow.
Bell would like to contribute. I will tell you, on Saturday mornings, Jay can wake up on a festival morning and say, I smell turkey legs.
That's right. That's right. And like I mentioned earlier, we know Blake's going to go searching for corn dogs. They usually show up on a Sunday late afternoon to get corn dog deals. So wondering about people's like festival food favorites. So Lucy is ready to tell you about all the festival food
she
ate.
Yes, let me tell you everything I ate. Okay. So yesterday, I was really hungry, and I was there with my boyfriend Jude, so we split a bunch of stuff, but we got two different kinds of lemonade.
This is her strategy, though, actually, for getting more food and beverages. It's like, if I'm with Jude, then I can say we split it and I can get more. And y'all hear that, right?
Eating like three quarters.
That's right. That's right. That's okay. She can do that at this age.
We got two different kinds of lemonade, which were both really good. And then we got some jerk chicken with a side of mac and cheese and then a side of plantains. And that was really good, too. And then today, I got two different kinds of tacos. One was like the regular street taco, and the other one was like a Greek taco with like tzatziki and chicken and cucumbers and tomatoes. And
so good.
Those are called gyros.
gyros.
It was like that, but instead
of
it was
have
just,
lamb?
It was just like
tortillas.
Yeah, okay.
It looked like a giant pile of meats.
It was really good. And then I had chocolate covered frozen cheesecake.
No, you missed an entire meal. We went to Bourbon Street.
Oh, yes. I forgot. Whoops. At Bourbon Street, I had two Paul Thomas chocolate beignets that were like filled with chocolate and covered in raspberry preserves and powdered sugar. And then later after that, I got that cheesecake thingy. And then I got a huge, huge, huge plate filled with pineapple chicken, jerk chicken, and then a bunch of vegetables because the lady was closing and she piled a bunch of food on.
So things that we know to be true about festivals in the end of the day, and one of the reasons that we usually hang till the bitter end is not only that we just can't say bye to festivals because it makes us sad and we're really good festival friends, but also because the food is cheaper and they give you more.
Mm-hmm. Kim Bell also wanted to go around and shake everybody's hand saying, thank you for staying throughout the rain today, as if she was a Dahlonega ambassador, just to encourage them.
Kim is a Dahlonega ambassador.
Yes.
I mean...
Yes. There's not many places.
2024.
Not many places I can go in Dahlonega without somebody going, oh, that's Kim Bell.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Charlotte, do you have something to say about festival food? She's literally raised her hand.
Yep. Into the mic. Yeah, you can pull it towards you. Go on and pull it towards you. There you go.
Me and Blakely have a story.
Oh, about festival food?
About festival food.
Excuse me.
Oh, let's go.
Tell us more.
That would be Blakely and I. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay, so it was yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was
it was yesterday, and we were walking around, and we were like, oh, we'll walk by the funnel cake place, because at the end of the day, they give away free funnel cakes.
And last year, we actually got two free funnel cakes, so we were hoping that we'd be able to get some more, and so we walked straight in front of the funnel cake tent a couple times, but no
luck. Then there's another food truck thing behind it, and we were just walking, and there's this guy, and he's not... From his physical appearance and his outside appearance, he is not somebody.
He looked
that,
like a druggie.
That's a way to put it.
Wow.
In the
I
was
put it out there.
Gypsy.
Oh, and I was wearing shorts, and I had on my Omnipod on my leg, and he goes, "Oh, what kind of patch you've been wearing? I've been looking for one to help me with my smoking." And I was so caught off guard. I go, "It's an Omnipod."
He thought it was a nicotine patch.
I was so caught off guard, and so
I was like, "Oh, it's for her diabetes." Because she just stopped talking after saying it's an Omnipod. He was like, "Ow," and he didn't say anything else. I was like, "It's for her diabetes."
And then he's like, "Well, you look pretty healthy to me." And I was like, "Well, most people, whenever they think of diabetes, like they think of type 2." And I told him like the stuff and the difference between type 1 and type 2, and he's like, "Okay."
Charlotte, that's its own podcast, no doubt, right? Talking about diagnoses and misconceptions.
Yes.
We walked away and we looked at each other. We were like, we're so uncomfortable. Like, that was the weirdest experience I've had.
But did you get a funnel cake?
No.
Yeah. So, girls.
I also heard y'all say is like, we always go hunting for funnel cake. Like, that's a festival of food that you look for, right?
Oh, yes, my takeaway was the food. Talking to a stranger.
Well, there's that too, but our parental
My takeaway was turkey legs still about 5 minutes ago.
Well, but I do want to impart a little bit of wisdom on our younger generation.
I'm so nervous.
When you're
HR.
Going HR, so when you're looking for a free funnel cake, it's got to be on Sunday, not Saturday.
That's true.
Because Saturday, they're still thinking, hey, we're going to sell these.
Tomorrow,
Sunday,
I'm going to use this batter.
Right now.
Yeah.
Right, this is the time.
Well, I think they're packing up.
Last year, we got free funnel cakes on Saturday.
Well,
would you like a? Would
you're
you like
a little princess, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, was the little princess?
So the takeaway from this, though, is that if you hear them talking, they're going up and down, back and forth to the square all weekend, which is the beauty of a festival weekend.
Indeed.
You can go down, come back home, take a break, go back down, and it's friends will show up at our house. We never know who's going to be at our house when we come back. Or who will be down there when we get down there, and it is so fun. So we try to figure it out by whose car is parked at our house.
That's right.
Or even last night I came outside and there was a child that I had never met before, just chilling in my yard. So, I mean, that's the beauty of it, and I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I also was thinking, didn't you and your mom get festival food yesterday too, Chuck?
We did get festival food. So, ladies and gentlemen, it was not just a barbecue sandwich. It was a barbecue sandwich.
Oh,
it was a sandwich. So I really had a difficult decision on what to actually have because the menu did have a turkey leg on it.
Ooh.
And I really don't feel like I've fully immersed myself in festival environment until I'm holding the leg of an animal
and eating it. It's like you're at medieval times, but you're not. You're out in the wild.
It's cheaper than medieval times, which thank goodness.
Yeah.
Speaking of medieval times, I always thought it was like, we served you what the king's going to eat. By the way, you want a Coca-Cola? It's like, that's not what the king's
doing. Last time I had tomato soup, and I was like, but we don't have utensils. I'm confused.
I did sound like I was in the 1990s when I said that, according to Jay. So,
crikey.
You didn't get a turkey leg then?
No, unfortunately, I didn't. I ended up with a pulled pork sandwich. But here's the thing about festival food is that when you're eating from a food truck, they're serving stuff quickly. They don't take care of like, you know, making sure everything is like, you know,
aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, like the Have you seen the bear
on Netflix, you know, like the type of very gourmet type food that they serve, you know?
It's coming to you at a bath.
I thought he was going to say wash their hands or something. Yeah. Right. Like, this is going to go really south.
So this barbecue place said, this is what it said, what you got with your sandwich. Your sandwich included either pork, chicken, or brisket, pulled, slaw, bacon jam,
bag of chips.
Everything's
a bag of chips, and pickles.
So all that and a bag of chips.
Literally. And that other bag of chips. So I was like, okay, well, this sounds great. Mom ordered hers. She wanted hers without pickles. So I was thinking if you're going to get a barbecue sandwich with slaw, you would expect the slaw on the side, maybe a pickle spear, and the sandwich itself.
So what'd you get?
Everything came on the sandwich.
That's amazing.
For me, I am a purist when it comes to stuff. So no, the chips were not. They were Cajun chips. They were real good kettle chips. So it was a sandwich that had the pulled pork, and then it was the slaw on top of that, and then the pickles. And I then took sweet barbecue sauce and put it on there because I like sweet barbecue sauce. So when I started eating it, I thought this is not the way I would eat my barbecue sandwich. But I'm glad I did eat it that way because that is the way the chef intended for you to experience it.
Oh my goodness, you've watched way too many episodes of The Bear.
The fact that you're referring to it as chef.
I watch the Food Network regularly, so I feel like he's
I've heard this entire conversation.
Yeah, I know, well,
all
right?
I gotta say
also
is
that
he basically said, here's your food, and I said, thank you, chef.
So you got that from and it was delicious though, right?
It was delicious.
Yeah, so that came, I think, from the Inked Pig food truck from Gainesville, Georgia.
Are we not supposed to name
it? No, we can totally say that because it was wonderful. They had a great experience, so we should boost them, and we would love for the Inked Pig to feel like they could like sponsor this podcast. Like,
they do a because they're right next to my office in Gainesville.
Oh yeah,
like they're in my neck of the woods. They do a potato.
Oh my goodness, I love potatoes with barbecue.
I mean,
tell me about this potato.
Slap your mama.
She's here. Mother is.
It
at
is
12
so
o'clock.
Amazing. It has.
HR
pulled pork barbecue. It is just is delicious.
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
Very cool. And I think they're veterans.
Really?
I think maybe I shouldn't say that.
No, I think you totally can say that. I think that's like think something good. People in this town. People. We're in an Army Ranger town, so I think that a lot of folks here really take great pride in military service and folks who are serving and serving us and in other ways too.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but for some reason I think that.
Cool.
We opted no food truck. We went each day to a different local eatery. two of our favorite places. So we did Shenanigans yesterday, which was excellent.
Amazing.
Right there on Friday to we did that pregame.
Yep. And then we did Bourbon Street Brunch today, which is just special all in itself, too.
Yeah. One of the best. And actually, yesterday I also chose to eat local as well. I love having food trucks in town. I think it's great. But I'm so mindful of our local business owners and restaurants and how sometimes festival weekends can really be challenging for our local businesses. So I ate amazing panini at the new Blue 42 Market, where our family played music on Friday night and Saturday night. So I was really feeling the Blue 42 vibe this weekend. It was so good. Highly recommend.
Katie, did you ever work a restaurant during festivals? Because I was at Caruso's during Gold Rush.
I was really lucky.
This is our October festival.
One year I got to work at a restaurant in Dahlonega during festival weekend and promptly quit that job.
Did you say luckily?
No.
No, she did not say luckily.
Guess what comes next?
She said she promptly quit.
I quit that job after Gold Rush because it was terrible and I was a terrible waitress and it was too many people, and got a job at the Outlet Mall where my first day was Black Friday. So I went from really one situation to one worse situation.
So Katie's a pretty big introvert. Like, we make sure that before we come to her house that we announce our presence and give her ample time to prepare for such a thing. But festival weekends, there's that different, you heard her, like, come one, come all.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, because festivals bring that out.
I almost cartwheeled out of the car. I was so excited.
Wow. Yeah, we do love the festivals here.
Yep.
So, yay to festival food, and to both our local folks and our trucks that came in for the weekend.
I had a buddy hang out at Spirits yesterday.
Yeah.
And he said it was the perfect flow. So, I think the food trucks
alleviate some of that stress.
Yeah.
I
think that our local restaurants are much happier.
Oh, I wish Blakely hadn't gone inside. That's true. They have been. They had a really great day yesterday.
Yeah, but it's not like slam packed. There's not a 3-hour wait.
Right, like we were able to get a table in Bourbon Street today, which is not always the norm.
We were able to get one at Shenanigans yesterday, and so I think it's actually helped them during festivals.
That's Blakely worked all day yesterday at Connie's Ice Cream from like 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And she had to have like ibuprofen to go sleep last night because she was
tired. And she smelled like waffle cones.
She did. She smelled so good. She wore that waffle cone perfume.
I think that's one of those statements that could go either way. It's like, I smell like waffle cones. And you're like, yes, but it also be like, I smell like waffle cones. It's like, ooh.
And then following the same name, instead of smelling like waffle cones, the other little one worked at a place called Waffles.
That's right.
It does not, in fact, have waffles. It is an English tea room. So both girls were busy this weekend in the local fanfare.
And they said it was really busy.
Can you say English tea room with a southern accent? I mean, if that's when you say it, you're supposed to say,
can you do it in the 90s? I don't know.
Like Flock of Seagulls hairdo.
A walkabout to the tea room.
That was close. All right.
Good that is amazing. All right. Great. So Katie has mentioned that, you know, you walk back and forth from their house to the festival itself. They're literally like a block away from the downtown area. But it's extremely residential and where her house is, and the houses are spread out. They're on larger pieces of property. So it's not like a neighborhood that's like really tight. These are mature trees that are around, mostly mature people.
Not tight in location, but we are tight as in we all know each other well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Community.
That is beautiful.
I mean, our neighbors right here are like family and go back generations. And I can point out everybody and say, I went to school with this one. I was in a Greek fraternity or sorority with this one, or their dad, or whatever. And it's really cool. We've watched it all go through the cycle. Yeah.
So let's just talk about Dahlonega itself for a moment, not just the festival. So they say, I haven't seen the most recent census stuff. Katie and Jay, you don't know, but I'm known as Mr. Statman on our podcast, because usually I'm the one that brings up all of the stats that tell you about, you know, what we're talking about. But I also have another nickname also. It's called Cheeseball, which that's a total another thing. And Matt Stevenson, who
sounds pretty appropriate. I don't know if I need a definition.
You're correct.
Yeah. Matt Stevenson and Lauren, who are our normal co-hosts, We're missing them today, but thankful that Jay and Katie have stepped in. Matt's nickname is Meat Sack.
Yeah.
It's a cheese ball and meat sack.
I feel like that name might need to be changed.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, there's
I'm
a whole
not going to call
it.
Any of y'all that.
We'll have another conversation about where that came from for another day.
It's not recorded.
We'd like to thank Al Pastor for that.
Yep. So I have not seen the most recent census that took place in Dahlonega. Well, actually in the whole United States. But they say about 7,000 people live here annually within the city limits of Dahlonega. And they say specifically it ebbs and flows because of the college that's here, because Dahlonega is not only the home of the first major gold rush, it is also the home of the University of North Georgia, which is the first military school in Georgia. And so there are a lot of other draws here other than just those two festivals. What am I missing?
Mom's about to fall into the fire taking a nap.
Oh, our podcast must be so boring. Listen, my mom's
taking
a nap.
This is what a festival do. It gives you a good kind of tired.
Listen, this is exactly what happens on festival Sundays. You're like all kinds of tired. Like,
I just
fall
asleep in the front yard on a gold rush or two in a hammock.
On a random Tuesday.
That's when the bears are out.
Exactly.
I did talk about one of the goals that I had was to fall asleep in a chair in the session's front yard for this
weekend.
That
was yesterday when it was sunny and beautiful.
Yeah. And it's sunny and beautiful now, but it rained a little bit.
Yeah, it's chilly.
So the pool to Dahlonega
population you were talking about.
Well, just saying, just yeah, giving people painting a picture of what it's like for what it's like in this town. But what also has been a pull to this place is Hallmark movies, which is amazing that here we are in.
You know what? You are so lucky to bring that up because I was actually in one. So I could really speak to that.
Oh, yeah.
Speak to it. Tell me about it.
Star.
You're a literal
I did
Hallmark
my, I clapped.
This is funny because I want to give the husband perspective of you being in a Hallmark movie.
Well, I mean, it was the moment that everything changed for us, really.
Ironically enough, it was a random Tuesday.
It was.
Of course it was.
They made the entire town look like it was Christmas. Snowing, but it was actually just rolls of foam. It was really cool to watch it happen and see everything get set up.
Not just rolls of foam, it was actually soap. They actually used some type of...
They even had a snowball fight and an ice skating rink. I mean, it was amazing.
This was
but it was
July.
Fake. It was not real. It was hot. But they called for extras, and my daughter and I went and waited in line, and we were extras for a pretend tree lighting, which we do have an actual real one of. It is another kind of festival that we have. You should check it out. Yep. First Friday after Thanksgiving, and it is...
Lighting of the square.
It's the lighting of the square, but there's also a tree.
Well, I understand, but I think the advertising is called the lighting of the square.
So right, somebody was looking
searching.
To find us.
Yes.
Come get lit in Dahlonega.
Yes. That's the session house.
Come see us get lit in Dahlonega.
I feel like that's not what Sam and his tourism had in mind.
They were shooting that scene in the movie. Charlotte was young, and she had a face that did an awe of wonder, and she got shot, and then I clapped, and I was just a really good clapper.
Yeah, so Charlotte got like
great
15, 20 seconds of, straight camera on you. I think they spent about 10 hours down there.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of the
heat. It's a process.
Yep. And that was Christmas in Homestead. Was that the name of that one?
Christmas in Homestead is the one that we were in.
Yeah, but we've had three different Hallmark movies that have been filmed here, actually. So we are an actual Hallmark town. And I often talk to folks about the fact that, like, you see Hallmark movies and they've definitely got a rep. Like, you can figure out what's going to happen in the movie way before it happens.
But
it makes you feel good.
There's a dog involved.
There's got to be a dog.
There's a doctor from a big city that comes to a small town because he got lost.
I think that's South Hollywood.
Because he didn't use Waze. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like...
changed the movie.
Nobody in the Hallmark movies uses, like, GPS stuff. It's like, all of a sudden, they don't know how to use directions. And it's like...
oh, my goodness.
I took a wrong turn. Here I am.
I guess my point in talking about that was that, like, I think that when people think of a Hallmark town, they have this image of, like, what the people are like there. And for the most part, like, that's pretty true here. And so people are like, is that the real deal? And you're like, yeah, actually... like the people who run shops know one another and they work together in community and boost one another for the most part. I mean, there's a few like low key rivalries around, but I would say for the most part, people are like really wanting other people to succeed and for our town to be a great place for tourists and people who live here as well. And so It's a really cool place to be. So go Dahlonega Hallmark Town.
Yes.
Go Dahlonega. Yeah.
And not only has Hallmark, kind of the Hallmark Channel or the Hallmark producers.
Want to be sponsor. Noticed.
Yeah, they want to be a sponsor.
Want to be a sponsor.
Yes, yes. Also, Southern Living has kind of blown up the whole Dahlonega area as well, or at least put us on the map because they've I don't know what the where the vote took place or who voted for that.
It happened here at my house.
Online.
It happened at Katie, front yard of Katie's house.
Yeah, it was unanimous, 3-0. Yeah.
Sessions Dahlonega voted the town awesome. Number one.
They actually have like online voting that you can go if you're a Southern Living subscriber. That was still just us.
We just clicked and clicked.
Oh, that's how it worked. Okay. So
I used to be a Southern Living subscriber, therefore.
Yeah, there you go. So we were in the top 10.
We were the number one small town in America. What, last year's vote? I want to say.
I think it was last year's.
Yeah.
So this town really is very
Shout
magical.
Shout out to tourism.
I mean, it, you can see the increase in tourism from all of those ratings, but it's great.
Yeah.
People come. There's some challenges that come along with it, but for the most part, it's really neat watching everybody come in and see what we have to offer because we're pretty proud of everything we have. Yeah. But
where I think Jay, you've relaxed a little bit from the amount of. Tourists that come to town is there's this one-way street that is just to my left that Man. People are only supposed to drive away from Katie and Jay's house, but some people drive towards their house
it's
on
like
that one-way
they're flocking
street.
To us.
And it's almost like Jay like waits for it. Like
he does.
I've seen him on festival weekends chase cars down with the big fist in his, you know.
I try to relax on festival weekends because of the, it's an influx and there's, you know. And
they just don't know.
But on those random Tuesdays, do not drive down.
Random Tuesday?
That poor bear.
There's a bear on the square and you drive the wrong way.
Do better.
Yeah,
do better.
Yeah. It reminds me of when my parents in their cove at the lake, when boats come into the cove and my parents are like, slow down, you're in a cove.
Oh, I'm totally the guy with the angry.
But then we all sit there. And like wait for him out here at your house. We wait for him to hit the speed bump, or at the lake, we wait for him to hit the place where all of the silt has built up, and they wind up like throwing mud up behind them.
Yeah, morally, we're like in my mind, I'm like stop, but what really coming out is like stop because I want them to hit the sandbar, you know. So it's like I told them to stop. I just wasn't very loud.
That's called karma.
Yeah, honestly.
I think Taylor Swift sang about that.
She does talk about it. I can sing the song later. Maybe another podcast all dedicated to Taylor. I could do
that. But are we going to say the relaxing of the rules around festival weekends, too?
Yeah, sure.
Because
talk about that.
We've totally been driving our golf carts, like, everywhere.
I'm not going to say if this happened or not happened, but I'm just going to bring back memory that maybe it did happen, Jay. Do you remember that time that we went to a place that I can't tell you whether it's a restaurant or a store, and we did a keg pickup?
That totally happened.
No. Can we say that? Yeah. In the golf cart. Yeah. We drove down to a festival.
And
we drove down, like, circled in. Like, we were smack dab in the festival. But we had a golf cart. And we acted like we knew what we were doing. So people were like,
we did.
Oh, well, they obviously are okay to do this. And
I officially,
we were just picking up.
Please do not revoke our festival golf cart privileges after listening to this podcast. Yeah,
I think one of you.
Please don't, Dahlonega.
I think either you or I basically said, just act like you know what you're doing. Like you just said. It was like, we did. We were like,
uh huh.
That's where you go again. Don't be suspicious.
Well, and when you
don't be suspicious. Totally. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember that.
I forgot about that.
That was that was a good time.
We also have like favorite festival artists and folks that we like to visit. So I feel like we could boost some of those people and their amazing product.
Yeah. One thing that the festival planners do with almost all of our festivals that I really like is they try to put the vendors back in their same spot. So you can go to whatever festival that is your choice that calls to you and say, there's my soap lady. I'm going to go pick up my soap. And then I have another festival where I got to go get my candles and I got to get those early Saturday before they sell out. And then, of course, we have one lady that makes wonderful jewelry. Dion, she is just amazing. Her earrings are great. And her husband's next door and is an amazing folk artist.
Yep, Jeffrey Lerner.
And these people are kind and just are a bright light in the world. You have Mike Deniers almost in the exact same spot with his painting. it's really cool because you can go and it's almost like you're visiting back to old friends, catching up. Hey, how are you doing?
Evie and Simply Affinity Jewelry and all of her amazing clay jewelry.
See what's new. Yeah. And we'd like to wear our previous year's festival stuff just to show them like, hey, look at how well this held up or how much it's loved. And we pass it around between all the girls. So it's really neat.
Our girls? And someone always says, where'd you get those earrings?
Yeah.
And you're able to go, okay, yeah, it's here.
Literally almost these every last single year's time. Almost every time we wear Dion's jewelry, somebody says something about it.
I get stopped every single time. Yep.
And the lady our girls buy those beautiful, like, shawl crochet sweaters from, she's so happy to see them coming every time, not only because they spend good money with her, I think.
She's like,
but,
yeah,
like, she's just so sweet and kind. And I had the most amazing conversation yesterday with Billy Roper, who is someone
top notch folk artist up here from more from the like Sutchess area.
Yeah.
But his work is phenomenal. I do not own a Billy Roper, but I have been vying for one. Did you really?
I did, but it's not for me, so it's a secret.
I'll say I have a picture you might like. We can make a trade.
I know, right?
Billy, make the trade. Make the trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Billy.
I was offering up another picture as a possible trade for her Billy Roper.
Yeah. It's right on that wall right there.
Ooh,
I know which one she's talking about.
That's another discussion. I digress. I might have stole a picture from Kim.
What is a soap sock?
A soap sock, you slide your...
I know this.
Really? We have liquid soap. We don't have any. Have you tried to put liquid soap in a soap sock? It doesn't work.
Soap socks would work. I feel like that's the soap that's in our shower.
What is a soap?
I don't know what a soap sock is.
I don't either.
So a soap sock can be like loofah oriented or just like a mesh in it. It basically is a little pouch that you put a bar of soap in.
Yeah.
Because every time you think, I'd like to have a bar of soap in the shower because that smells good. It's fresh, less yuck ingredients, right? But then it sits there. It gets gooey. It gets yuck, and maybe some things stick to it that you don't want to see.
I think that's why the old soap on a rope thing came about. But probably Chuck's mom had soap on a rope. Did you have soap on a rope at some point?
Yep, so you put it in the soap sock.
There you go.
And it can be hung. It can be dry. Nothing is there and dirty and gross about it. It doesn't sit in the water and get gooey. And then at the very end, you wash it out and you reuse it again. So
do you wash your body while the soap is in the sock?
Yeah, so it kind of works like a loofah.
Oh, it's like a soap pouch. When you said a pouch, so I wonder.
It's called a soap sock, but it could be referred to as a soap pouch if you would like it to be.
I don't think I would call it a soap.
We talked about me too,
Jay
bro.
Sessions, you can be excused.
Are we going to need a little break for a second?
I think we need an intermission and we'll be back in 3, 2, 1.
And we're back. So we've had an opportunity to talk about the food and kind of some of the booths and kind of hanging out in the Sessions yard and the culture. What we're missing is a huge part of this, which when Katie was describing what this festival, Barrel in the Square, is about, it was really built around Appalachian music and bluegrass music. And so let's talk a little bit about the musician atmosphere that happens at this festival in Dahlonega. Katie, you were saying something about Friday. Yeah, I just saw something in the tree. What am I looking at?
It's a really large crow.
That is a very large crow.
Sir, the literary festival is a different weekend.
Yeah. Oh, he went away. Wolf you said that and he flew away.
Never. He was like, oh.
He got confused.
I'll be back a few months.
Nevermore. Sorry. Yeah. We do have a literary festival.
Yeah.
And we could talk about all the festivals, but...
Yeah, let's talk about...
Music.
We need to close this one out.
Yeah.
But we can talk more
let's
about all festivals.
Let's focus this one on Barrel in the Square.
Okay.
The best festival.
All right, so the artist the booths start showing up on Friday, and so do the droves of musicians. I mean, we're not talking about people who are just on the main stage. There are people who travel worldwide to come to this festival just for the pickup music that happens around the square. Like, you can't walk 15, 20 feet without running into little pickup groups that happen all over the square that are playing anything from Appalachian music to, I heard some Elvis Presley. I actually heard there's a kid that on the square always plays Creep.
Yeah.
Oh, the ukulele guy?
He's a
son of a vendor.
I
was sitting, got to
usually catch a clogger or two that'll throw down some boards and they're ready to go.
Yeah.
There's a really cool atmosphere here. So Friday night they have a huge tent that they usually have an auction that's set up in a dinner that you can be part of. It really sets kind of the tone for the whole weekend.
Like a $5 dinner from Shenanigans.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah.
I think this year they had a couple of bands that played on the main stage also for that evening event. And Saturday night, after the event was over, the main part of the event, they actually had a contra dance as well. But what's cool about music just in Dahlonega, not just with the festival, is that there were multiple places that have had music over the weekend as well. One of the places is it just had its grand opening. It's just off the square, called Blue 42, which is a coffee shop. And there were a couple of bands that played there, including Bells and Whistles, which is a local band that is made up of two sisters and two brothers. And Kim and I happen to be the proud parents of those two girls that are part of that band. And that was a sellout show.
That was insane.
It was.
That was like awesome.
Standing room only. And actually, by the end of the night, I'm not sure that there was room to stand if you walked in the door. It was really great. And yesterday, there was another show there, the Tom Shandy Experience. And Chuck Bell was a part of that band as well. And they threw
Matt Stevenson. And Lauren Stevenson.
That's and right. Lauren, yeah. Matt, Lauren, and Tom, who I'm sure you'll meet on one of our future podcasts.
Yeah. And Ivy Hughes.
And Ivy Hughes, that's right. So those five folks make up the Tom Shandy Experience. They had a show yesterday, which was awesome. Southern rock with a, what is it called? Southern, with a twist, a twang, a something.
Something like that. Twist, twang, accordion.
Pretty cool. How was solid
your
blues that went down.
Harmonica playing yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
It was
I had
so good.
Oh, thank you, Kim Bell.
You're welcome.
Was it like Sweet Music Juice?
Well, actually, Sweet Music Juice Lady was here today.
She was. I didn't get to play with him at all. This square, I mentioned that it has pickup groups everywhere that you can just bring an instrument. Most of the time, it's the standard banjo, upright bass, guitar, dobro. But every now and then, you'll get a dulcimer or you'll get an accordion or a button accordion. I've seen an auto harp.
Fiddle's also a classic.
Oh, yeah, fiddles are also in there. And so I sat in for a couple of years. I've sat in with these two ladies that come in from, I think they're from the Carolinas. And there was one, the first time I was part of their group, I kind of, you just walk up. You don't have to ask to be part of groups. You just sort of walk up and you start playing with whatever music they're doing. And one of them leaned into the other, and I was standing behind him, and I heard she say, "Did you hear that?" And the other lady says, "Yes, that is some Sweet Music Juice in my ear." And they were referring to my accordion playing.
That's well, a regular inside joke amongst our friends now.
Yeah. But it's so true. You're such a talented musician.
Oh, thank you, Jay.
But you don't even have to be that talented. Like, you can just kind of walk up to a group, and as long as you know C, G, and D, you can play around with, like, 90% of the songs.
Yeah, that's what's beautiful about this festival is that the music culture cultivates younger players, and I don't mean age-wise, I mean younger players of people who are just beginning to play to people who are professionals that you can sit in with them, and it's a incredibly grace-filled place for musicians that there's no judgment. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty what cool. is so beautiful about the music portion of this festival. And Katie mentioned earlier about one of her favorite parts of this gospel jam. So what's cool about the gospel jam is all the players that are part of it.
So many and so many different kinds. And these are people that routinely play bluegrass throughout the year, but then they've chosen to pick their favorite song that they like the best. So you know it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. And I bet we get 10, 12 songs out of it. But a lot of it is always involving the crowd too. But it's really like where they get their chance to shine. And I think it's cool.
Yeah, this was the 26th year that they're doing it. That Glenda Pender is one of those people who just saw a vision and created this gospel jam and had a
created
whole hand.
The festival,
I was about
actually.
To say, and
she
had
and
a whole hand
Nick.
In the, yeah, had the whole hand in creating this festival that has become just one of the favorites of not only Dahlonega, but for many, many, many other people that are beyond the city limits of Dahlonega.
Well, and let me say, one of the things you were talking about the age of musicians that's really cool and unique about Dahlonega that I don't think we've touched on in any of our previous podcasts is our Georgia Pick and Bow Band. And so Pick and Bow is a program that happens here in conjunction with our local school system. And they teach Appalachian music to kids that are going into fourth grade and on up, which is really unique, and it's an important
no cost
part.
To the kiddos, and it's these artists come in and fully just donate their time and this lost art to them, and they really pour into them. So, and they come right to the school after school, so it's easy for the parents.
Yeah, they definitely, as someone said earlier today, like, they meet you where you are.
Yes.
Chuck used to be on the pick and bow board because he's a great musician, and he believes really strongly in teaching the music to the kids. And that was a real, one of the things that I think is so strategically important about this festival is that the biggest event of the weekend musically is Gospel Jam. There's no room hardly ever to get inside the tent. They even set up a side back section of the tent where they have auction on Friday with chairs because so many people come. But right after Gospel Jam is done, Pick and Bow gets on the stage. Mm-hmm. And so all of those kids who have been working all year long at learning to play either guitar, fiddle, there's a few banjos mandolin. In the mix, and mandolin. And if every now and again you get an upright bass, like Blakely Bell and Amelia Turk has picked that one up too. But they have an opportunity to share what they've learned. And I actually leaned over to Chuck this morning. I was like, I love that this is always the best they sound all year long because it's the culmination of their year worth of, yeah, it's definitely grand finale kind of vibe. So I think that's so strategically important, the placement of that in the festival lineup.
You know, I think their weekend tent right in front of Giggle Monkey is also strategically aligned. It's awesome because kids are, oh, there's a toy store. Oh, these kids are my age, and they're playing music. It's great.
Shout that's out to Giggle Monkey that always supports our kids, too.
That's right, and they also sell cool instruments in there.
Uh-huh. Yes, John and Tammy throw into our kids, and having them right outside bopping in and out all weekend has always been a good thing. So,
but, you know, even the instruments that they donate. Like, when Charlotte was involved, she did fiddle 1 year, and I
Mandolin second year.
Maybe we rented a violin for
$10 for a really minimal price.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, and it's not that they just have this plethora of money that comes in, which this is a great organization to donate to if you want to look into it. Is georgiapickandbow.com or .org. It's one of those. Just type in Georgia Pick and Bow, pick and bow, and then you can find out some more information about it. But yeah, there's a whole library inventory of instruments that they have that it is very affordable for families in order to do that because of the donations that they have throughout the year in order for this to happen. And part of that is the instrument rentals, because as being a high school band student and a middle school band student back in those days, and we had to rent instruments that were non-traditional Appalachian music, that was expensive.
Yeah.
And my family had that conversation about, we don't even know if you'll be able to be in band because of how much it cost.
Mm-hmm.
And here they're allowing kids to rent, you know, these instruments.
They're removing the barriers. You're talking about location, teachers, cost, all of the things. They're doing their best to remove the barriers and make this really accessible to them. And make it fun. And most of the kids do it because all their friends want to do it. And they know that when they get to fourth grade, they get to do it. Like, it's a thing to do around here.
Well, and I will say today, a really cool thing that happened. Actually, I'm sorry, Chuck's like mouth is still open.
No, it's okay.
I didn't say what you wanted to say.
I was just going to tag off for her, but I've got a pin in my head. I know what I'm going to say. Okay. So go ahead.
So,
I need like a notepad.
Yeah, right. A stream of consciousness kind of stuff. But it's been an important part of our kids learning music, and is actually how Bells and Whistles began. Our kids' band began there because they played together at Pick and Bow and they became friends. And they have a week-long summer camp where everything changed musically for both of our daughters because of Pick and Bow summer camp, because they were fully immersed over the course of a week's time. Mm-hmm. And it's where Lucy decided, I'm playing mandolin, because I fell in love with it here, and where Blakely totally switched from guitar to the upright bass because Joel Cordell was such an amazing teacher for her, and she just decided, like, that's it. And I heard that again today about Amelia Turk being like, yep, went to summer camp, and all of a sudden she's decided she's in love with the bass. So that is a really influential component of their growth and development. And one of the moms who's also on the board today turned around and thanked us. She's on the board now, and her kids are in Pick and Bow, and ours have been teachers. And she said, thank you so much for the example that your kids set and continuing to have them involved in Pick and Bow, because they're the people that my kids look up to and want to be like. And I actually stood there today thinking, like, wow, there are the Adams kids, and those were the people that our kids looked up to and wanted to be like. So it was this real full circle kind of moment.
It was really cool to see Blakely playing bass with Joel.
Yeah.
That was.
And for him to say, like, this is my bass buddy, because he was her teacher.
Very
cool. Really cool.
Very cool moment.
Yeah. So the other thing about the Appalachian music that they teach is that they are teaching the songs that most bluegrass players that are on the square know.
Yeah.
And so it makes it extremely accessible for anybody who knows Ain't No Bugs On Me and walk out and sit in with a group.
Old
and,
Joe Clark.
And what's great is these musicians, if there was a younger player that came in there, they're always asking that you go around the circle and you basically say what song you want to sing and everybody just or play and everybody plays that. So if there's only a couple of people who know it, those people are going to back you up and then the other people will learn it really quickly. Well, these younger kids can walk into any of these groups and say, I want to play Old Joe Clark or Ain't No Bugs On Me. And all of those musicians in there will support them because these are songs that they learned as well, because we're just passing down those generations. And none of this stuff is written down. So they teach a lot by ear with this. So it's like the whole the folk story tales that you have to, like, you know, there's a whole generation of people who just share stories, and that's the whole thing is passing down the stories by the spoken word. Yeah. That's the same thing with what's happening in this, is that we're passing down Appalachian music from somebody who learned it and developed it that then taught the next person to play it, and that person taught the next person to play it, and so on and so on and so on. So it's not only creating new musicians, it's creating new musicians with a connection to the past. And that's what's really cool about this area and this festival specifically, because all generations can find a place to fit in here.
Yeah.
Not just in the kid zone, not just if you like turkey legs, not if you, you know.
It's back to our old valued, included, empowered.
Yes, thank you, HR nice. Department.
Nice.
So, team session, we've really enjoyed having y'all as co-host on this.
Yeah.
And I think this has been a really cool look into the Dahlonega festival culture. And I hope that, you know, we get an opportunity to do this again. I know that we'll do a festival in your We're doing a festival in your front yard is what I'm about to say.
Up next.
There's a festival. The bells will be here.
Yeah. Yeah, that is somebody like Kim and I who've only been in this community for the last 13 years. That it's
newbies.
It's really cool to find.
Got here as fast as we could.
Yeah. That thank you for you know, being those friends that have walked alongside of us and getting us acclimated to the Dahlonega culture.
We love having y'all. And we love your kids.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Vice versa.
We love festival weekends where we get to see all the faces. Everybody just slows down and enjoys each other for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And eats good food and has good music. Yep. Nothing bad to say.
So next month is Art and Wine Festival here in Dahlonega.
So great.
So
We didn't even touch about the fact that there's wine country here in Dahlonega. It's world.
No, I think that's its own thing.
Global winning.
That's another.
A great new winery opening up. I would love to volunteer to podcast from there.
Yeah, so we actually do love the on-location stuff, so we probably should find a way to get some more mics or figure out a way that we can have more than just four and have y'all back on one of those, because the Stevensons and the Bells have talked about having more on-location type stuff and doing that.
Totally.
So some of them aren't necessarily just in Dahlonega, because we just did Macoma Beer down there in Fernandina and broadcasted live from down there, and that was great to build relationships while we were on vacation.
But there's goats. So we need to go.
Where are the goats?
At the new winery.
Oh. Dog hobble.
You can hug them.
Oh.
And a donkey. I'm in.
Right.
So any closing thoughts on any of this? Jay, you got any closing thoughts about festivals? And
this was an amazing Bear on the Square. This was a fun experience. This is my first time doing a podcast, so thank you so much.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to take a picture of Jay, and I'm going to post it on our Instagram page. Uh-oh. So you can see how comfortable Jay is. In the podcast.
This is in my element.
Yeah, this is good. I'm actually going to take a wide photo of all of us in this, so I'll have to get Jay to lean in a little bit. There we go. Yeah, I'll put that up on the the podcast and maybe a photo of...
They'll notice in the picture that there's only four of us out here because it's grown chilly and we're around the solo, so yeah, everyone else has gone inside.
We didn't make it up that we had friends here for the first part. They really were here.
Oh, they were. Hey, I'm a friend. Katie, any closing thoughts about this?
No, I'm just... My heart is full. I'm happy, and I love a festival weekend. Rain and shine, we've gotten it all this weekend, and every bit of it's been great.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Kimbell?
Yeah, I think festival weekends are for sure our favorite weekends with our friends, the Sessions. And Katie and I always find cool new things that we get to explore, and we like all kind of go out and find things for one another too. Like, you got to go check this out. So festivals plus friends equals more fun is basically my... my closing right there.
That's a really good closing.
That is.
So if you enjoyed this podcast, you can become a listener. Well, you are a listener if you listened, but you can get a placard.
Turns out.
Good for you.
That if you would like to receive a placard that says that you are an official listener, you can send an email to placard@craniumshorts.com.
Excuse me. Can you tell me what a placard is?
Oh, yes, I can. So it is.
I want you to go back to like middle school awards day.
Yes. Yes.
We're newbies.
Think like certificate-ish.
You're going to get a certificate signed by the host of Cranium Shorts along with a special gift.
No right. way.
And it comes right. in the mail.
Wow.
Yeah, so you...
I'm doing it.
You write, you want a placard that you're a listener to placard@craniumshorts.com, and you will get that official certificate.
That's right.
Along with a special little gift, but we're going to give you all the gift anyway because we're...
Yeah, you're getting one. I think I have some in the car.
Yeah, I got some in the car too, so...
What about you? Do you have any final thoughts here today on festivals, Chuck?
No, I think that I just want to echo what I say. No, and then I'm like, no, I think I am going to say something.
No, but yeah, I do.
But wait,
he just
more.
Said that because I asked it.
Oh, well, if you could just rewind about a minute and a half from this, and when Katie says her heart's full, I mean, I think that is a good description of how my heart feels after this weekend. I told the girls through a group text after they were up on the main stage and sang one of the songs that I felt like my heart was smiling out of my chest because it was just, it made me so happy. And those moments that we get to slow down and spend some time just having conversations while you're walking through a festival or talking to people who have arts and crafts booths here, that's their passion and what they love doing. Mm-hmm. It's a really lost... Can I call it just a lost art? I mean, the act of browsing and just slowing down and just enjoying that. And so if you've got local festivals in your area, take time out. Don't say you're too busy to go to a festival. You know, actually go out there and enjoy it and meet some people. And even if you're an introvert, there's still places for you at a festival,
too. I mean, I made it.
Oh, farmers
she survives it regularly.
Local farmers market.
Oh, that's
go
a good
out. Yeah,
that's a good place to start if you just
have those every Saturday in the park. Just so you know,
meet your folks.
Yep. So we don't know when the next podcast will be because, as always, we release them as we release them. But thank you so much for listening, and know that you always have a place around our table. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for joining us on this podcast. If you like what you heard and would like to hear more, hit that like and subscribe button. Don't forget to share it with your friends.